Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is James Grunke, CEO at the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership. James, thanks so much for joining us. For those that are not aware, what is the Opportunity Zone program?
So in the tax act that was signed by President Trump, both Senator Scott from South Carolina and Senator Booker from New Jersey put in into the statute what has become known as Opportunity Zones. And it's an ability to do high impact, social impact investment in some of the worst parts of communities across the country. So it's looking really for tracks that had serious disadvantages. And in Erie, there's 8 census tracks that have been identified as eligible for Opportunity Zone funding. And it's a desire is to encourage investment in areas that need it, but it's based upon, like all tax law, is trying to avoid paying taxes. Particularly for the wealthy. And this is about how you would take a capital gain and use that for investment. So let me just kind of try to explain how it works. Let's say I have $100,000 of capital gain that I've just realized. And currently, my tax rate would be 25%. So I cash out $100,000, I get $75,000, $25,000 goes to the federal government. If I do an Opportunity Zone investment, I can take my $100,000 and I delay the payment of tax on it for 7 years. So I can take the gain, I can use my money, and I don't have to pay tax. So you're just trying to delay it. But if I do it in an Opportunity Zone, not only on top of that, at the end of 7 years, I am only liable for paying tax on 85% of my gain. So again, my $85,000, or my 100, now I'm getting taxed on 85,000 instead of 100. And so my liability went from 25,000 to about 17,000. So I've realized money. But the real amazing part about it is these are investments into equity projects. So it can be an investment into a company, can be invested into real estate, it can be investment in a whole variety of things that are designed to make money, right? They have to be invested in private business. So any gain that's realized by my investment, it comes out tax-free. So again, let's say I take my $100,000, I make an investment, it realizes a capital gain of itself and it doubles to $200,000 over the next 7 years. I'm only going to pay taxes on $85,000, not $115,000. And so it's a really clever way to encourage redirection of capital gain into targeted markets that really need it with the desired outcome that you're doing social impact investing. So in Erie, we could be doing like a homeownership pathway program that we're doing investment is encouraging, you know, giving opportunities for people to do homeownership, and that's neighborhood stabilization. There's a whole host of things. You know, the United Way is looking at, are there things that they could do to help their crush poverty program? So it's almost endless of what you could do, and it's just a leverage of people with who are trying to realize a capital gain. And in Erie, you know, there's probably lots of people that have some Erie insurance stock. You know, the grandma has it, and she doesn't want to sell it because of the capital gain. Now she can sell it, delay her tax liability, and actually try to make some difference in our community. So I wish I could explain it briefer, but it's a kind of complicated.
So James, who is an ideal investor?
So anybody who's going to realize a capital gain is the ideal investor, because part of it is you have to deploy that money in a short timeline. So after I realize the capital gain, I need to either pay the tax or deploy it somewhere within 180 days. And so it's preventing people from actually exercising a capital gain because they are trying to avoid it. This is just trying to get more capital investment out and being used. So there's large institutional funds that have been put together. So in our region, PNC Bank has put together a $150 million fund that's looking for investment. And it could be just an individual. And our job moving forward will be try to educate local investors what the opportunity is in an opportunity zone fund, as well as develop projects that are eligible for funding. So it's kind of a, you have to do both tracks. Attract investors, attract projects, and then good projects will find money.
Obviously, this is a countrywide effort, right?
So there are 800 roughly approved opportunity zones in the country. But I would say realistically, you're looking at maybe 10 or 20% of those zones ever attracting any investment. I know I looked in the state that I came from, Idaho, they have 25 approved zones. It looks to me like there might be 4 total that even have the remotest chance of attracting investment. So the Erie, because it's almost the entire city of Erie, qualifies as an opportunity zone. So where we're sitting, the Bayfront is an opportunity zone. Downtown is an opportunity zone. The industrial parks are opportunity zones. So it's just a financing tool that most other communities won't have that we get to leverage.
So James, can you explain what goes into the education of potential investors?
Well, I think we'll have to do a whole series of workshops in the community explaining what this is, what it looks like. You know, our strategy is to get in front of CPAs and wealth advisors because that's who their clients need to know about this. And so we'll be targeting those two industries on education. And we're going to be holding a conference here in late April that we're attracting, we hope, outside investors and local investors to come learn what does Opportunity Zone really mean and what it might mean for them, and then showcase some projects we think are ready for funding here. You know, as I said early, one of the things that you could be actually investing in is a company, is a startup company. So we could take a company that's coming out of the Innovation District, and this is a new funding vehicle for them. So we think it's an ability to bring a company to Erie that might be looking, you know, could be from another part of the country because of the Opportunity Zone funding for them, because it just changes the landscape. And so I like to say, in most cases, we don't get to compete against Austin, Texas, as, you know, the startup capital of the world. Well, they don't have an Opportunity Zone. We do. So it might make more sense for that company to come and establish in Erie than it would be in other parts of the country. And that's the other thing that we have to do, is leverage all of those people looking for business opportunities and why Erie is the place for them. And Erie, luckily, due to the mayor and to Tim Wachter at Knox Law, are way ahead of the rest of the country on developing this. Most are still saying, wow, how do you do this? And Erie right now is looked at as the example of how to do it right.
You know, James, President Trump signed this into law in December. What were your initial thoughts on the program when you first heard of it?
Frankly, I was not paying any attention to it. It was only after it really got explained to me what the impact was and to see what the work that was already done, that this gave us an advantage that most places don't have and that we need to leverage it properly. And so I can say, you know, 6 months ago, I was thinking nothing about opportunity zones. And today I probably know more than I want to know about opportunity zones. But it's an important distinction for Erie that the rest of even the Commonwealth doesn't have.
6 months ago, this wasn't on the radar. How big of a shakeup is the Opportunity Zone program for you guys?
I don't think it's going to be disruptive at all, because the intention always was that the flagship Opportunity Zone was going to come under the management of the Erie Regional Chamber. Where we struggled with was the who's going to do it. And we were asked by the city who is going to take on this role. And I kind of blurted out in a meeting with nobody knowing this, well, it's going to be Brett Weiler. And he's didn't know he was coming back to the chamber at that time. But there's nobody in our community other than probably Tim Wachter that knows more about Opportunity Zones. And this gives us the ability to be just seamless in moving the work he did from the city together to us. And it's really important that it's coming from a business organization versus coming from government, right? You're trying to track really large scale investment. And some of the things that they're just hampered on, you know, these large funds are going to be in New York and Chicago and Los Angeles and wherever in the country. And we have to have Brett or whoever have the ability to go there. And, you know, our city and doesn't have the resources to do that. And this is a way we can do it. And I think it's been recognized. We have a great partner with the Erie Community Foundation that's really given us the seed money to move this forward. So we have a prospectus, we have a plan, we have a staff person, and we are getting calls all over the country for people wanting to come learn how did Erie put this model together. And funds are looking for projects. And these can be private sector-led projects. They could be nonprofit sector-led. It really has the ability, if we manage it properly, to change the landscape. And important, if we manage this properly, because we have certainly the ability to not do it well.
James, taking a step back to the investors, are there goals in terms of out-of-state investors versus in-state investors?
I don't know that we have a targeted dollar amount, but we have to demonstrate that we're investing in ourselves before we get outsiders to come and look at us to invest. So we will need local investors leading in many of these to attract outside investment. If some fund from Chicago, you know, they don't want to be a pioneer here. They want to someone that they can co-partner with that already makes sense to them because they'll be – and again, there's going to be so much more capital looking for a home than there are homes. And so we get to go and demonstrate this is actually a place to make it. And of course, this is designed for social impact investing. So there can be investment that's just pure free market, right? And we're going to be more leveraging what are investments that are going to change the needle for Erie itself.
James, 8 areas of the city were approved by the U.S. Treasury for Opportunity Zones. Can you tell us about these?
So it's the 8 census tracts. It encompasses almost the entire city of Erie, but it's also the only 8 in all of Erie County. So again, if I was looking to invest somewhere in the county, now it might make more sense to come into the city, which is in probably more need of revitalization than other parts of the county. And so there was a process that every community had the opportunity to submit a list to the governor, and the governor approved the list of opportunity zones in Pennsylvania, and then they've been certified. But the other thing is they're not going to be added to. So these 8 are it. And so we just have to take advantage of it.
James, can you talk a little bit more about how Erie is ahead of the game with this? And is it because of the people in place?
It was completely the right people in place. I think, I think we have to call out. It really is Tim Wachter from the Knox Law and his brother Matt from EDDC. They early on, like in January of last year, identified this is an amazing tool and we need to strike fast. And I think they got the right amount of community support. You had a brand new administration with the mayor looking for new tools, and it was completely, I think, the right time and the right individuals to identify this is an amazing advantage. Because as I said, even though I spent my whole career in economic development, this is nothing that I was paying attention to.
What is your greatest hope for the opportunity zones for Erie?
It brings more investment into our community. That has to be our measurement. You know, a lot of times people want to talk about job creation, and I am very much that job creation is an outcome. It's not the goal. But if we're putting new investment in and we're investing in companies and we're investing in growth, those are the outcomes that we'll need. And it just simply gives us a tool that we didn't have before.
The total potential investment in these areas is $600 million, according to city estimates. Is this an accurate number?
I don't know that we know that answer.
How encouraging is it that this administration was able to pass this to jumpstart economic investment in low-income urban and rural communities?
If we had not had the leadership of the local elected officials, we would not be in the position we are. So it clearly took smart people identifying this opportunity, and then an administration that said, then let's pursue it, and let's pursue it rapidly.
What will happen after the 7-year time frame you alluded to?
Well, right now, it's only authorized to go through 2026. So if the statute is not reenacted, it expires. So just like any investment, whether it be an equity investment, like if I was a venture capital or an angel investor, we're expecting some sort of an exit. And the reason it's 7 years is because that's when you get the maximum tax benefit that you do it. But you're hopeful that there's an exit, just like a, so you have to think of just like a venture capital fund. I'm making an investment, sometime in years 5 through 7, there's an exit and I'm paid my money back. But it could be zero, or it could be you make a 10x return. So we don't know that, but these are investments that people are expecting a return on.
If they are going to make that initial investment, they are looking at this as a long-term thing, right?
Potentially, but you could just set up, I took my $100,000 again and I put it in a fund, and all I want is to maximize my tax benefit and say, I'd like you to pay me 6% interest over the next 7 years, which is higher interest than you're gonna get anywhere else, or whatever the number may be. So you just let really an organization use your money for virtually free, and in year 6 or 7 or 10 or whatever the terms are, they pay you back. And so you've realized your tax benefit, you've made some interest, because again, all payment above your initial investment is free and clear of the capital gains. And so there could be any variety of motivations of what a person is looking for, but there is anticipated there's an exit or a repayment back of some sort to this the individual investor or the fund itself.
James, it just sounds like an incredible opportunity for the right investors, right?
It is. And if I use my venture fund or my angel investor, we could co-invest now. We could take a venture fund. We could even take a venture fund that's realizing their own capital gains, and they move their capital gain into an opportunity zone, and then they can co-invest right alongside each other. So if we were looking at, again, companies coming out of the Innovation District, and they're receiving funding, you know, this first cohort received about a little over $3 million of investment. We could have either reduced that or added to it, because we could have gone side by side with opportunity fund investment as well as venture capital investment. And so it's just, it's a really clever way to incentivize investment.
How do you envision that educational program in terms of a timeline?
Well, it is going on now, but in earnest, it really goes on February 1st when Brett Weiler comes back. I probably know more about Opportunity Zones than I want to know now. I want Brett to know everything there is and to be the go-to resource in our community that people want to say, hey, I want to learn more about how I could do this for myself, or I want to learn more, I think I have a project I'd like to advance. And so we view ourselves as we're going to be the kind of the neutral or the third party person that we're going to be having a website, the flagship Opportunity Zones, that people can put a project up looking for investment and also as an education tool. And that website is up now. But our real goal is to have our first large scale education conference at the end of April, that we're going to be inviting the community to come and learn about Opportunity Zones, both as an investor or someone looking for a potential project.
James, can you talk a little bit more about the sort of investors you are looking to attract?
I think we're looking for out-of-the-box thinking investors, that they're not looking just for a return, but how do they make a difference in Erie's future? I gave an example that, you know, talking with the United Way, they're really concerned about the identified food deserts that exist in Erie, and they're thinking, is there a way an Opportunity Zone fund could help us address that? They don't know the answer yet. They're in conversations with me right now trying to figure this out, but that would be very out of the box. And I would challenge to organizations or projects to think much bigger. You know, we have the Bayfront, we have other groups that are, you know, every year they're thinking, wow, if I could just get $100,000 or $1 million, we could really do things. And I want them to think, what would we do if we could get $10 million or $20 million and really do things? And if we can make it attractive to the right investor, I think the money will flow to Erie.
And James, if someone had interest to learn more about these Opportunity Zone programs, what could someone do?
I think just give me a call. Call us here at the Erie Regional Chamber. Call me personally, or after February 1st, call Brett Weiler. But we want to get the information out as broadly as we can.
And James, any final thoughts that you'd like to add?
I think it's really exciting, the potential that it has for Erie. And as everybody likes to say, this is the right time for Erie, and it is. And this gives us an advantage most places don't have, or they don't realize they have. And since we're an early adopter, let's hope we're going to be an early winner.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard Fridays at noon. Join us again next week as Logistics Plus is in the Business Spotlight.